Okay, so thanks for giving me this chance to present my work. My talk will be about the sharp asymptotics for the Tarkovsky mass equation on curved spacetimes. And I will direct go to the aim and motivation. Our aim is to prove the precise asymptotics for solutions of Tarkovsky mass equation in the curved exterior. And this Tarkovsky mass equation, TME, is satisfied by the extreme Newman-Perkins components of the spin S fields. And it's a spin-weighted wave equation in this form. And you can see that the first line here is just like a spin-weighted wave operator acting on psi S. Psi S is the extreme Newman-Perkins component. And the second line are all these first order derivatives. And our motivation comes from a few aspects. So first, as we may know that this Tarkovsky mass equation is satisfied by this extreme components of the scalar field, Dirac field, Maxwell field, and the linearized gravity. These fields correspond to different cases of the S value. So for instance, linearized gravity correspond to S equal to plus minus two. And in particular, so if we consider the linearized gravity, this scalar solving this Tarkovsky mass equation, that gauge invariant inseparable and the other gauge dependent quantities or scalars, they can be reconstructed from these Tarkovsky scalars. And second, in the past experience, to prove a non-trivial black hole stability conjecture, for instance, the curve stability conjecture, it is quite essential to first show sufficient good decay for this linearized gravity or linear gravitational perturbations, and such that you can eventually use these upper bounds of decay to control the non-linearities. And our last motivation arises from this strong cosmic censorship conjecture. This is about the instability of the curved Cauchy horizon. And to show this instability, some appropriate lower bounds of decay has to be proven, in particular on the event horizon or slightly inside the event horizon. So why does there exist late-time tails in black hole space-times? Because we know in Minkowski, due to the strong quickest principles, the radiation flow, along this now rays, and so eventually for any compactly supported initial data, the field, the scalar field psi will vanish at any finite radius as time goes to infinity. This is not true in, for instance, Schwarzschild anymore. We take this scalar wave equation for an example. So this is due to actually the backscattering, which is in turn caused by an effective curvature potential. So it's already reflected in this wave equation. I think there's something wrong with. Okay, it's already caused by this wave equation. You can see this red color term. This is a potential, and this is related to the mid curvature of this Schwarzschild space time. So, in other words, so the radiation will not only follow these null cones, they will actually go inside the null cone and eventually affect the asymptotics near time by infinity. And here I have simply written this wave equation in terms of double null coordinates, uv. And I will show a simple idea of proving these precise asymptotics for the spheric symmetric mode. So to start with, we fix a hyperboloid foliation. such this rho tau omega. Omega is the coordinates around the sphere, and rho is just equal to r, the Boyan linkage r, but tau is a hyperboloid time function such that constant tau hypersurfaces, the space-like, the transfers to the event horizon, and they're asymptotic to future now infinity. And you can see in this figure, and they will assume some suitable point-wise decay, but they're not sharp. We just assume some wicked point-wise decay at the moment. And then the equation of motion for this spheric symmetric mode takes this simple form here. Okay. So we can rewrite this wave equation in this hyperboloid coordinates and isolate out this partial t derivative or partial tau derivative. And it becomes this partial rho acting on rho r squared partial rho psi equals to partial tau acting on some expression of psi itself. And we then integrate this wave equation in this space-time domain, the tau naught, tau one, and net tau one goes to infinity. And eventually we see that there's a conservation law. So you will get contribution for this rho r squared partial rho psi on now infinity. And because psi equals to r inverse capital psi, then you will see immediately that this equals to capital psi itself. So this is an integral along now infinity for the radiation field. And for the event horizon, you see, because of this mu factor, it equals to 1 minus 2 m over r, it vanishes at event horizon. So there's no contribution for the integral on the event horizon. And for the late time, for the integral along sigma tau 1, as tau 1 goes to infinity, we can simply use some point-wise decay estimate to show that this integral of h psi on sigma tau 1 goes to zero as tau 1 goes to infinity. So we're left with an integral of the radiation field equals to the an integral of the initial data, right? So this computes the integral of the radiation field along now infinity. And we then show how this integral of the radiation field along Scrabhash can be used to determine the precise asymptotics for the spheric symmetric mode. We simply rewrite this wave equation again for the spheric symmetric mode, but in terms of the radiation field. And we multiply both sides of this wave equation by mu v cubed, and then integrate along constant, along u direction. Okay, actually it's along this line. And we then calculate this v cubed partial v psi, the value at uv minus the value at this point on this initial hypersurface equals to the integral of this right-hand side along this line. And you can see that already this is v cubed over r cubed. This is why we multiply by v cubed, because when you push this integral towards now infinity, then v cubed, v is just like r along now infinity. So eventually this will reduce to an integral of the radiation field along a segment of now infinity plus some low order term. What I mean by low order term are those decay in time or in proper time, okay, in tau, let's see. And then we translate this integral integral along this red line into the integral along the entire now infinity. And of course, there is a contribution from this point to time like infinity, but this has decay in time, so we can simply put it into the low order term. So in some sense, we can, by this simple argument, we can already show the precise asymptotics for partial v psi in terms of the initial data asymptotics of v cube partial v big psi and an integral of the radiation field along square plus, or in other words, an integral of the initial data. And we then use this precise asymptotics for partial v psi to achieve the precise asymptotics of capital psi by simply integrating along this v direction. And eventually we get asymptotics for capital psi in terms of the initial data. So this is, of course, just a simple model, and its spheric symmetric mode is s equal to zero, I mean, the scalar wave equation, and it's on Schwarzschild. But our estimates are actually for the Tolkowski master equation for s equal to 0, 1, 2, and in particular on Schwarzschild and on Kerr. So this is a joint work with Lin Zhang, and it's based on two papers. So the first paper deals with the Schwarzschild case. We have verified the Price law. So this is conjectured by Price in 1972, I think. And it's to determine the sharp decay rate for these Tolkowski scalars in black hole exterior. So we verify this Price law by calculating the precise global asymptotics for these Tolkowski scalars. In the Schwarzschild case, we calculate this asymptotics for psi s, and for the case that if this psi s are supported on bigger or equal to L modes, and we find that there's some difference. So towards now infinity, you can see that the total power of decay is always minus 3 minus s frac. S frac is the absolute value of s and minus L. And in finite radius region, then you gain actually L minus s frac order of decay. So it depends on the L mode. And also you see that for higher modes, the decay is faster, right? It grows linearly in L. And in the current case, what we have done is simply for psi s itself, not for the L modes. So what we get actually is basically the same as the Schwarzschild case. So all the total power of decay is the same as the Schwarzschild case, but the coefficients in front of these global asymptotics are just different. Additionally, on the event horizon, there's some funny thing about this positive spin component, this psi plus s frac. So if s frac is non-zero and A is the rotation parameter of the curved black holes, and M is the s-most mode, if you are restricted on an x most mode, then in particular, if m equal to zero, then you will immediately see that the decay of this positive spin component on event horizon will be faster by v inverse. And this is already discussed in the paper by Barrick Ori. It's by some mode decomposition, but this is a very nice argument. And what we've done here, what we found is just another simple argument by Tolkowski-Starobinsky identity to verify this argument. But another interesting fact is that, so this additional decay for positive spin component on the event horizon, this actually fails for S frac equal to 1/2. So as long as s frac is not a positive integer, then this fails actually. This is another joint work with Zhang. And we also show that the coefficients are generically non-zero because we simply derive the explicit expression of the coefficients in terms of the initial data. So it's manifestly generically non-zero. And the ingredients of the proof, I should say maybe a few words. So in the Schwarzschild case, we used the spin-weighted spheric harmonic mode decomposition because we want to also discuss the lead time asymptotics for the modes, for the L modes. But for the curve, because of this A dependent operator in the TME operator, one has to treat this mode coupling in the evolution. So we still use this spheric harmonic, spin-weighted spheric harmonic modes, but you have to treat this mode coupling and to estimate this mode couplings. And this is based on
You have 3 minutes more.
Okay, yeah, I know. This is based on an extension of the approach in another joint work with Anderson, Bogdan, and Blue on the Kerr linear stability. And the approach there plays a central role. And of course, the global conservation law for the now infinity integral of the radiation field is actually non-trivial, but it is crucial to derive the precise asymptotics for in the Kerr case as well. And additionally, I want to emphasize throughout the work, we have to apply these Tokolsky-Starobinsky identities many, many times. And in the end, I will just mention a few applications. So first, one may generalize these to higher modes of solutions to Tokolsky master equation in the Kerr case. There are already works by Barak Ori and Krukas, Rux, and Tors. And you can also use the global conservation law to discuss the same linear problems as like with nonlinear terms being like with power laws, or satisfying the null condition. And of course, then quasi linear problems. And in the end, you can already discuss strong cosmic censorship for linearized gravity. This is done recently by Jan Spierski using our work. Okay, so that's then.
Thank you very much for the interesting talk and for staying perfectly in time. And we can start the question session. So any comments, questions? Yes, please, Zoe.
Hi, thanks.
Hi, Zoe, hi. Yep.
Sorry, maybe you said, but what were your assumptions on the initial data?
You can simply choose the initial data to be compactly supported, but this is not the weakest initial data we can choose. So in practice, what we only need is actually for the lowest mode, we have this, this V cube partial V psi, big psi, to have a limit towards now infinity. And for the higher modes, there are some weaker assumptions. So like conformal regularity is enough for the higher modes up to certain order.
Thank you. Further questions, comments?
Hi, thank you. I'm just trying to understand the relation between this work and you're familiar with Aritakis's?
I know. What they have done is for scalar wave I know their works for scalar wave focuses on, Rice Nostrum and the Kerr. And on Rice Nostrum, they have derived the same results for the field itself and higher modes. And in the Kerr case, they derive the asymptotics for the L equal to zero and L equal to one and L bigger or equal to two modes, I think. So the method is actually different. So we heavily rely on this as I said before, this global conservation law, and what their method it relies on some Newman-Perrot constants and some inverted Newman-Perrot constant by inverting the time operator. That's the difference between the method and our work can treat the Tarkovsky master equation for arbitrary spin, s equal to 0, 1, and 2. And this is what they have not done.
Okay. Piotr?
So there have been announced proofs of stability of Kerr. They use also decay rates for various fields. How do your decay rates compare with what they're doing?
Okay, they used. You mean the work of Kahneman and Schaftel, right?
Or Duffermos, also Geltainer.
Oh well, that's for Schwarzschild. So as far as I,
they have.
Oh really? Okay. I don't know this, but from what I know about the work of Kleinem and Schaftel, they actually require these Tarkovsky scalars to decay. The total power of decay to be like -7/2 minus delta. Delta between 0 and 1/2. So it's between -7/2 and -4. Our estimates. It is to derive the sharp decay. So this is much stronger than what they require.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I think we will convene with our next speaker. Let's thank the speaker again.
Yeah.